Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Asia markets go wild.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Thursday was a great day to be in the markets in Asia. The Nikkei in Tokyo gained more than a percent and a half today. That's thanks to an upgrade in Japan's debt by Moody's and a blockbuster IPO today from the Sony spinoff Sony Financial Holdings. China's stocks zoomed up, too, but what really went through the roof was Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index. Andrew Wood of the Financial Times says that may not be a good thing.
The problem is that as Hong Kong becomes more and more connected with the mainland economy and share prices in Shanghai are up 120% since the beginning of the year, the worry is that Hong Kong is perhaps being connected to what he called the bubble machine, that basically there's an awful lot of money chasing not many stocks on the mainland, and they're getting a knock-on effect here in Hong Kong, which has stronger and stronger links with the mainland.
That's Andrew Wood of the Financial Times. Meanwhile, on Wall Street Wednesday, the U.S. markets took a hit. The Dow closed down 86 points to 14,078. The Nasdaq closed up 8 points to 2811. And the S&P closed down 3 to 1562. The monetary cost of war. A report released today looks at the price tag of Africa's conflict since 1990. $284 billion. From Johannesburg, Gretchen Wilson says that's about equal to the amount of international aid that's been funneled to Africa.
The report was released by three non-governmental organizations, including the British group Oxfam International. It says conflicts in Africa between 1990 and 2005 shrank economies by about 15% a year. That's because the costs of war go beyond military spending. They include rising inflation, reeling debt, and high unemployment. In many conflicts, natural resources are seized by private individuals instead of being invested in the nation as a whole. Some African leaders say that's money they can't afford to lose. Funding is needed to curb Africa's AIDS crisis, as well as to prevent and treat tuberculosis and malaria. Basic education, water, and sanitation are also difficult to provide when money is deflected into war's coffers. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson from Marketplace.
Everyone in Washington says they want to fix the alternative minimum tax. 35 years ago, it applied to only a handful of rich people, but Congress didn't index it to inflation, and now millions of families are vulnerable. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli says this week, Republicans unveiled a plan to eliminate it.
Yes, you heard that right. Democrats and Republicans agree they both want to end the AMT. Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan says his party can do it without raising other taxes to replace it.
The conventional wisdom in Washington that we seek to challenge with this bill is this whole notion that the government needs to have all this money coming into it.
Ryan says there's a clear alternative to replacing the AMT's cash flow.
Instead of focusing on how to raise all of its revenues, Congress should be focusing on how to control spending.
Ryan argues that the AMT is essentially a new tax on the middle class since more and more families must pay it each year. So why replace it? But Democrats say there are good reasons to replace the tax, like huge budget deficits, the Republicans' own spending habits, and the fact that the government used AMT revenues to help justify President Bush's tax cuts. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Who needs the old-fashioned music biz? Not pop star Madonna. Today, the news that she's about to sign a 10-year deal for $120 million, but not with a traditional music label. She's reportedly jumping ship from Warner Brothers to concert promoter Live Nation. Various news outlets are calling this the latest seismic shift in the music industry.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series shedding light on heart disease through the stories of people from around the world, premiering on PBS in October. and by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Coal is becoming a political hot potato. If you turn on a light switch in the U.S., there's a 50% chance you can trace the power back to coal. New coal-fired plants in at least a half dozen states have been either scrapped or scaled down because of climate change politics and local groups who don't want them. Marketplace sustainability reporter Sarah Gardner tells us the issue is drawing big crowds in small towns across America.
Don Schatzer of Waterloo, Iowa, says he used to spend his free time golfing and wintering in Florida, but plans to build a new coal-fired power plant on the outskirts of town changed all that. Now, this Midwestern retiree is organizing a protest campaign and jostling for a seat at public hearings. One dragged on for 5 hours.
We had over 300 people in attendance, quite a few people standing outside because the fire marshal was there and wouldn't let everybody in.
Communities all over the country are weighing proposals for new coal-fired power plants, and they're generating vigorous small-town debates, not unlike those inspired by nuclear power plants in the 80s. Schatzer worries a new coal plant would hurt air quality and increase global warming.
If I look at this as an issue for our children's future, and going back to 19th century technology, building coal plants that can't sequester carbon is really the wrong way to be going with our energy future.
But these coal hearings draw passionate supporters, too. They're often unions banking on new jobs, or they're business leaders. Take a recent forum in tiny Forest City, North Carolina. Hundreds turned out to sound off on a proposed coal-burning unit nearby. Most of the crowd wanted it, like the county's Chamber of Commerce head, Bill Hull.
Building of that new plant operation down there at Cliffside is going to provide about 3,000 jobs.
But environmentalist John Thompson at the Clean Air Task Force believes growing opposition will persuade more utilities to stop building coal-fired plants. Instead, he believes some will turn to natural gas, which emits less CO2. Others, he predicts, will start gasifying coal, which is cleaner but more expensive.
The reality is that we've got to change the way coal is used, because we can't bet the planet that coal is simply going to disappear over the next 30, 40 years.
Thompson says he knows of at least 5 utilities that may announce plans for coal gasification facilities by year's end. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.